plastic bag, drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel this so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under screens and no one seems to hear a thing? Do you know that there's still a chance for you, 'cause there's a spark in you, you just gotta ignite the light and let it shine just on the night, like the 4th of July. 'Cause baby you're a firework, come on show 'em what you work, make 'em go as you shoot across the sky.
Darlings, welcome to the Sit a Spell Show. It is Wednesday the 23rd, and it is cold out. Like, I am not happy.
It's colder than a witch's tit in a brass bra with 3 layers of dry ice in there.
That's pretty damn cold.
That's how it feels, though.
Although I've never actually had a brass bra or dry ice in my boobage either. But it was bitter.
Bitter.
I'm still bitter about last year, for God's sake. It snowed until freaking May. And now? No. I'm so sad.
Don't be sad.
I'm so sad. Oh, by the way, this is Lisa, and we've also got Teresa. Okay, got that out of the way.
And we're going to introduce to you tonight, because it's a party night, and we're all in one room, which is unique.
Very unique.
Tonight, we have our special guest, who is going to be doing a weekly little pagan parenting section for us, Mrs. Gail Splinter. Hi, Gail.
Hello.
So we're going to get, Gail is going to do a weekly spot on pagan parenting, because that's been asked by many of our listeners if we're ever going to do anything. And Teresa and I are like, never thought of it, but that's a really great idea. Who's the best person to get? Gail.
Somebody with 4 kids.
Yes. and who practices paganism with her children.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So in the third section of our show tonight, we are going to get down and dirty, not diaperly, but with Gail.
We're going to change some diapers. Ooh. It's a party time.
So, T, what have you been up to, baby?
Well, let's see. I went to a Halloween party this weekend, although I was quite late getting there.
Better late than never.
But, you know, the Halloween party was with you. So that was our thing for the weekend. I thought we had a really fun time.
Because, oh, my God, it was a blast.
You know, we always play charades.
Yeah.
And normally I just, you know, for charade games, I always come out with these really hard, almost impossible things to act out. But they're hilarious to watch.
Yes.
Like last year, I had cream-filled donut. And that was hilarious watching Tom do that one. So this year, Lisa goes, oh, well, we're going to do it Halloween horror movie themed. And I'm thinking, shit, I can't do anything with that. But I did get the one. I had one impossibly hard one to do. Jelly-filled gummy brains.
And she told me the one. She told me that one, too.
Guess who picked the fucking thing out of the basket? I did.
And so she's doing it. You can't see, and I didn't videotape, but she's doing it, and it's hilarious. And she's looking at me because 24 hours previous, she told me, oh, I've got the hardest one ever, and nobody's going to get it. I'm like, tell me what it is, just in case we get it. She told me, do you think I could get it?
No.
But let's talk about cloak for a minute.
Cloak?
Cloak?
Oh, yeah, I couldn't get cloak.
Cloak. I mean, cloak?
Well, to me, it was a hooded cape, what you were doing.
Yes, a cloak.
A hooded cape.
Is a cloak.
To me, no. Just shut up.
So between T and I, we're with her cloak and my jelly filled gummy beans.
Yeah, you know how I got jellied? You want to know how I did jellied? I stood there and I moved and shook my fat jelly belly. And they were all looking at me like, what the hell?
It was
And I got
fun.
I got all the way up to jelly filled, and then I was working on the gummy and I was sitting there chewing like crazy, like it stuck to my teeth and everything, and they're all
I thought she was like pantomiming, she was pulling out her teeth.
It was
cloak, Teresa, cloak.
Shut up. And then so I had to throw in one dirty, nasty, icky thing, because you know I have to get Tom every year. And the word that he had to act out was enema. And I must tell you, it was most interesting as he grabbed the nearest bottle on the floor and was laying on the floor, and he's putting the bottle by his rear end, and little did he realize that the bottle actually had water in it with no cap on it. So he gets up and his butt sweat.
It was so funny.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious.
But all of our parties are like, I mean, yeah, over the top fun. I mean, so much laughter. Oh, P.S. So everybody was supposed to dress up.
Shut up. I had a valid reason.
Yeah, nobody else did.
I came as an insomniac.
She did. She came as an insomniac. So she dressed. She basically came as herself. And Diane, I probably shouldn't say names, she came as an eccentric psychic, which means all she did was wear a shirt that didn't match. Tom was a ghost hunter. I mean, nobody dressed up, so, and I didn't know what to
be. I can't even remember what my own husband was.
He came up with something equally, really, so I was the only one that dressed up, and I had, so I was dripping in
blinged out
sparkles, to the point where I had to take some of them off because they were annoying me. And you know how I love
but
the sparkles.
But I had a valid reason. I found out my daughter had to work. She does not have a driver's license. She has a permit, but she's like scary to ride with. And so I couldn't find anybody to pick her up after work. So I ended up coming in late. But thankfully she didn't have to work till 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And she called me like almost 8 o'clock and said, I'm off, and I'm going, thank freaking God. So that was my excuse. It was valid.
It's a valid excuse.
It's valid.
We'll use it.
Because otherwise I would have been a gore fest.
Oh, I know. You were planning on zombifying the hell out of yourself.
Yeah. I was going to go crazy. Absolute crazy.
But it was a fun night. So much food. So much really good food.
Way too much food.
Well, that's okay.
And then I think it was
Sunday?
Sunday? Yeah.
Sunday, my aunt called and she said, all right, we're going rock hunting. And I'm like, awesome, because I love rocks. So I sent Teresa a message and I'm like, don't be jealous, but I'm going to a rock show because T is all about the Stones.
Rock whore.
So I thought it was in St. Paul, the one that I was going to with my aunt. Turns out it was in Newport. T finds a completely different rock show.
In Cottage Grove.
So we were both at two different rock shows, but we were less than 10 miles apart from each other at the same time.
Yes. And I got some awesome rocks.
Yes, you did.
Very titillating.
I got one, but it was for a birthday present for Ashley. Who, by the way, Ashley is turning 24 tomorrow, and it is her golden birthday.
Happy birthday, Ash. That kind of sounded. What movie was that with the aliens?
Close Encounters.
Yeah, it sounded like Close Encounters. Thank you, Dio.
Oh, I just
happy
sang a live
birthday, Ash. Yay, big birthday for Ash.
It is a big birthday. We had her over because she's got plans tomorrow because, you know, she's engaged and all that, and I can no longer control her since
Poopy
she is
pants.
24 and engaged and a grown-up and doesn't live with me anymore. So we had her over and had cake, and I made soup, a pasta fagioli soup.
That was very spicy, I might add. She lies. She can cook, bitch.
Oh, please. But we had her over, and we had cake, and I got her a cake, and Teresa got her a cake. She had two cakes.
We were getting that girl hopped a bunch of her.
Yes. And then And then she recorded our new intro, which next week you're going to hear a brand new show.
Ooh.
It's going to be amazing.
Amazeballs.
It is amazeballs, really.
Yeah, it really is.
So, yeah, we have a whole new show coming out starting next week. Oh, and here's something that you should know also. Drum roll, please. Our show is now going to be on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock and
repeat it on the regular time Wednesday.
So you will get a chance to listen to us twice. A whole brand new show, still just funny and entertaining and
weird. Let's just face it.
Weird. I was going to say eclectic or eccentric or I don't know.
Weird.
Okay, fine. Weird. A little bit weird. Just but you're going to get to spend 2 hours with us a week now if you want to. And we're rolling out the whole new show, and we've got new segments. We've got our beautiful new Gail, who's going to be doing pagan parenting.
Oh!
It's going to be amazing!
Amazeballs! This is so weird being able to see you and doing your little expressions and stuff. It's weird. Because she always does these hand gesture things.
Well, because I'm like, you can see me, but now you actually can see me. Like, hello! That's what I do every single time I do it. I go, hello! I know, you can't see that, but just picture me going hello and raising my hands.
So, we need...
You're the taskmaster tonight.
I am. I am the massive bitch. So, it's time to do... the news. Start us out, Lisa.
Oh, you're going to kill me with the ones I picked. Okay.
I can hardly wait. I gave you
the good one. Okay, my first one is new housewife Carlton Kevia.
Bitch.
Dishes Wiccan Halloween secrets. New Real Housewives of Beverly Hills cast member. I don't even have to see you and I know that you're shooting darts.
She needs
at me right
reading
now.
Glasses.
Carlton Kevia has special ritual that might surprise you when it comes to celebrating Halloween, but also plans to get nearly naked for the Halloween party. We didn't do that at our party.
I would have.
I know you would have.
Because I did full moon.
I know. You did do full moon.
Yes, I did.
So in that sense, she's pretty much like the rest of us. Carlton, who is Wiccan, tells the dish she enjoys the fun elements of Halloween, but it's also a somber holiday for her religion as well. Halloween is the pagan New Year, she explains. Some will celebrate it on the day before. It's just honoring the dead and cleansing and releasing. But yes, I do celebrate, absolutely. There are a few things that I do, Carlton elaborates. I don't do it around my children. I don't do it around my husband. I do it on my own. The reason is because it's such a sacred moment. I like that. And any time, like I said, when the changing of the seasons, it is profound because the faith is based in nature. However, she still loves to accompany her kids to nab free candy from the neighbors. On the fun side of it for me, I really do enjoy Halloween just as a fun celebration. We take our children trick-or-treating. They love that. They get dressed up. Last year we had this huge Halloween party, which was brilliant. I celebrate it probably in two different ways. You know, I do that too. I mean, we do the rituals, but we start out with, you know, giving the candy and all of that stuff. But then afterwards, we do the rituals and the regular pagan honoring of the dead. So we do both as well. And our Halloween party is always either before or after Halloween. This week or this year it was before.
Yep, it was fun. Okay. Crack that one. All right, this is mine. Rare spell books sell for $13,865, but beware of the curse. Wah. Just days before All Hallows' Eve, two handwritten spiral-bound books of spells have sold on abebooks.com for $13,865. Yeah, baby. But the buyer risks being cursed if they are not a believer in witchcraft. Talk about karma.
Oh, yeah.
The opening page of the first of the two grimoires, that's a magical textbook, is inscribed with a haunting warning. To those not of the craft, the reading of this book is forbidden. Proceed no further, or justice will exact a swift and terrible retribution. And you will surely suffer at the hand of the craft. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, my.
Yes. And the same warning is then inscribed again in Theban, an ancient alphabet used in modern Wicca to hide magical texts from those who do not believe in witchcraft. The author, a witch, has signed the page using the Theban alphabet. Let's hope the buyer is a real-life Hermione, damn it, and not a muggle.
I have Theban on my tattoo.
You do?
Yeah. These tattoos on my back.
Yeah, she's pointing the back of her neck.
They're the first initials of all three of my daughters. They're in Theban.
Very good. Get on to your next story there.
This isn't really a story. It's just a fun fact.
All right.
Five freaky facts about the Blair Witch Project. See,
For God's sake.
Well, I didn't want to be trying to pronounce Nigerian words. Okay, she's like, whip, whip, whip.
Finger cues. Move it, move it.
With Halloween around the corner, we're counting down the days by posting five fun facts about our favorite fright flicks. Blah, 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 blah. The Blair Witch Project. Number one, the three actors, Joshua, Heather, and Michael, were only given a 35-page outline of the plot before shooting began. They improvised their lines, and most of the on-camera events were there to surprise them. When Heather O'Donoghue screams, "What the fuck is that?" she actually says it a lot scarier. She's actually looking at the film's art director, Ricardo Moreno, dressed in white long johns, white stockings, and a white pantyhose pulled over his head.
Kinky!
The footage was originally much higher quality, but was deliberately deteriorated to look more authentic for the 1994 setting it was allegedly shot in. Heather brought her whole face... She did bring her whole face, but Heather thought her whole face was in the shot during the now infamous snot-filled close-up. It wasn't, but the directors loved how it turned out. Despite the film's success, O'Donoghue quickly left showbiz behind and began growing medical marijuana in Northern California.
Amen, sister!
I just thought it was fun. I didn't want to have some witch hunting murder.
Yeah,
I just wanted to keep it light this week.
All right, well, from here we are going to take a quick break. And we'll be back with Candy Airs.
We are your name. Welcome back. You're listening to the Citispell Show, and now it is time for the Wisdom of the Ages with Candy Ayers. Candy, how are you, honey?
I'm wonderfully well. I'm getting so excited for the Feast of the Dead and for the quote tonight and everything. It's just a wonderful time of the year.
It's a festive thing. So, honey, what do you have for us tonight?
I have a quote by Winston Churchill, and it says, "Courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen."
Ooh. Wow. Very profound. Because it takes a very big man to be able to keep his trap shut and listen.
Listening is very important. My daughter has a theory on that. She says that when women vent and talk, they just want to be heard. But men, when they hear them, think they want them to fix it. And sometimes we just want to be heard and be and sit in silence.
That's very true. Yep. And sometimes you just want them to shut up altogether.
True.
That's my profound statement for the night. And I'm out. No.
There is no mute button.
There isn't. Do we have a profound question, Gail?
A profound question?
Yes, about that quote.
About the quote. How long do you have to sit and be quiet and listen for?
That's a good question.
I think spirit will speak to you and tell you when it's okay to open that throat chakra and talk again.
Especially when you're talking with somebody who's got a very strong personality and, they like to get their point across.
Over and over.
Yeah. And it's like impossible to get a word in edgewise. Those people are challenging to talk to, but I find that if I just clam up and just listen and nod my head, but I'm actually in La La Land somewhere else in my happy place, it kind of works out best that way. But I do kind of catch those occasional little tidbits so that I don't look like a total idiot when they talk and ask me a question.
Yeah, when they say, "Now, what do you think about that?" No, I think that we have to be quiet and listen to people until they're done talking. And sometimes that takes a really long time. And just every once in a while, just let them know that you're still listening and you're hearing them. Because so many times in our society today, we don't listen. We want to be the one for verbalizing. We want to be the one saying and everything. And to be quiet and sit down and listen is an art.
You know, I ran into this exact thing this weekend. And I'm not going to go into detail, or even the day, but I was at a friend's house over the weekend. And I noticed whenever somebody would bring something up, somebody else would jump in and they would talk and they would even
kind of like this
exactly like that. But the he would just interrupt and if they didn't get their last word in, it was like his head was gonna explode. And I just found that remarkable. I was watching them interact, and I was just kind of in shock. It wasn't something. I mean, he's a very good friend of mine. And I never saw that side of him before. And I was just in shock. They just wouldn't stop talking. No matter what the conversation was, they had something to say that brought it back to them.
To them?
Yeah. And I was like, wow. And I mean, for me, if I don't have anything to say, I'll just sit there and listen. I don't really care. Talk away. But I had never noticed that side before. It's kind of disappointing, actually. But everybody's human.
So your third eye opened up a little bit, and you saw part of them that you hadn't seen before. It's probably been there the whole time, but you just finally saw it.
Right, and because I really didn't have anything to contribute to the conversation, they were talking about things that I have absolutely no idea about. I was just going to say, so I didn't have anything to contribute, so I just sat there and I listened. And there was just so many interruptions, and then once that conversation was over, and the person that didn't get to finish their sentence before, the one that I'm talking about now, he would bring the conversation back so that he could finish his story. It's like, wow. And like I said, everybody's human. Everybody's got their flaws and their, and maybe he's not heard at home. And so this is his
that
chance
was his
to
forum.
Be heard. Yeah. So that could be. I don't know. I don't have anything else to bring to the table.
You had a lot. When I have a couple of people in class, because we ask questions, and people, we do the talking stick thing because it's easier than, stepping on each other.
Yep.
But, this one person always, so when he has it, it's like it goes on forever. So now I've gotten into where I say, when you answer this question, it's in 10 words or less.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You know, and it's just because of the rambling and he wants to be, I'm not even sure he's realizing that he wants to be the focal point, but I, like you said, probably not being heard elsewhere, so I'm going to be heard here, you know.
And that's okay.
So, Gail, you had a question.
Oh, yeah, well, the part that she was talking about that kind of resonated with me is it's kind of an art to listen. And sometimes when you're talking with people, you can see that they're not listening to you because they're thinking about what they're going to say next. And
oh,
they're
yeah.
not focused at all on what yes. you're talking about.
Yep, absolutely. Sometimes that's me, only I'm not thinking about what I'm going to say next. I'm thinking about...
I'm in my happy place.
Yeah, I'm in my happy place, especially if you're talking about trucks or something that
I do that yeah. with my daughter whenever she starts talking about her Minecraft game. And she gets into this big spiel and she's going in depth and all this and I'm just kind of looking at her and I know the look on my face is, the light's off and nobody's home. But I just let her vent.
Well, I think that it's important what Gail said is to also, be attentive when you're listening. You know, not shut down and go away unless it's just droned on for hours. But I agree with that it's an all lost art form. And I think the more that we interact on the internet, the less we're going to have of being able to communicate verbally.
Very much so.
Well, and you don't know if you're making that person feel bad. I mean, cause like I said, maybe he's not being heard at home. So
right.
if you're able to be that person's happiness for a day, or not for the day, but I mean for that moment,
yes.
why not?
My son says there's three parts to a conversation, and that's when you initiate the conversation, you tell them, listen to what they have to say, you maybe tell them what feedback on it, but at the end of the conversation, people should go away feeling good about themselves.
I love it.
Perfect.
Well, Candy, thank you so much. Your wisdom was amazing as always.
Well, thank y'all, and have a happy rest of the week. I'll see y'all next week.
You
right.
too.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
Now, reflect.
Welcome back. Tonight, we are beginning our segment on pagan parenting. And I always go, when I say that. And we have the lovely Gail Splinter with us tonight. And Gail, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
You survived so far.
So far, so good. Yep.
Yeah, tonight was a special little occasion. Usually you never get to see our visual faces, which is sometimes a good thing. But
usually a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. So why don't you let our listeners know a little bit about yourself? And
okay, I can do that. Let's see. I believe I was probably born a pagan witch, and I got into it very young when I was about sixth grade. I started reading stuff on Sibylique, which led me down the path that I'm on now. When I was about 19, I committed myself to practicing the craft. So that's what, 30 some years ago. Yeah. I'm not a Wiccan. I am a green witch. I incorporate a lot of shamanic stuff into what I do, and it's all pretty much nature-based. So I have four children that I am raising pretty much under, well, in a pagan household, but I'm kind of letting them do their own spiritual search. Also, we do go to a Unitarian church, and they have a really nice pagan program. We were able to participate in some stuff through the Unitarian church, so they're getting it from all over the place.
which is good, because I was not raised up in any religion whatsoever, so I was able to find what I believed on my own.
Mm-hmm. I think it's beautiful. And I like that you said that you're not a Wiccan pagan.
No.
Because many of our listeners are, they're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And is Gail the first green witch that we've run across?
No, I don't think so.
No, I mean that we've had on the show.
I don't remember,
but I don't know, for some reason that stuck a chord with me, so I just wanted to... Mm-hmm. Validate it. So you've got four small children. How old are they?
I have 14, 12, and 2/8.
Wow.
And they're absolutely adorable.
They really are.
They are all adopted. Two of them are from Russia. Two are from Guatemala. The girls are from Guatemala. The girls are my 8-year-olds. And they're 23 days apart, but they're pretty much like twins.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I have a teenager and a preteen. So it's been very interesting.
Interesting in the house. Mm-hmm. Plus, you have puppies too now.
I do. I have a Boston Terrier and a French Bulldog.
Do you really?
I do.
Oh. Now, if you can't maintain a pagan household with that crew, nobody can.
And that's why Gail is now going to be doing a segment each week on pagan parenting, because if anybody knows how to pagan parent, it's Gail.
Yeah, well,
and we've
my
had
best.
A lot of people asking for a segment like that, and Teresa and I just thought the perfect person would be you, because you got it together.
Yay.
You rock our socks off.
That's great.
And sometimes our knickers, but that's a whole
nother
story. We won't even go out there. So what little tidbit are you going to share with us tonight?
Well, what I was going to focus on, what I'd like to focus on is how to incorporate your children into your Samhain ritual work, or how to get them interested in paganism through, well, the rest of the world calls it Halloween, but, mm-hmm. you know, so they understand what it is exactly that we as witches are practicing, and why it's such a near and dear thing to our hearts.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it's, and I'll just do some real basic stuff here, you know, just a little background stuff. But Samhain is the third and the final festival of the fall festivals. You've got Lunasa and Mabon, and it is one of the 8 Sabbats. It's one of the 4 greater ones. The high rituals or something like that. But it's a time for remembering our past and remembering our ancestors and honoring them. And it's a really good time to teach your kids, you know, where they come from. In my case, the kids are adopted, so we kind of talk about their bloodline, where they came from. In addition, we talk about my husband, his ancestors, and mine, a lot of Native American there. So we bring that up and just thank them for the path that they forged for us, that we could live the lives that we do now. this is, of course, is the big one for us. It's the Witch's New Year. We're celebrating the endings. You know, anybody that has passed during the year, this is the time to honor them and thank them for the part that they played in our lives, and to wish them well on their way, on their journey. And, you know, that includes friends, pets, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever has passed during the year. And it's also the time when the veil between the two worlds is at the thinnest. So the living and the dead are most likely to exchange psychic information. And it's a good time to try and retrieve some of that ancient information from our ancestors and try to apply these things to our lives today. And as you can imagine, this is kind of something, you know, how are you going to get your kids into something like this?
Right.
So what I have tried to do with my children when they're young, I've been trying to point things out to them that will make them ask questions about either being pagan or being a witch or whatever. I help them notice things that the changing of the seasons, you know, when the apples come out, the root vegetables, the pumpkins, the nuts on the trees, you know. So they're aware. You're getting their awareness going. And then as they age, you know what they're ready for. If they're ready to help you with ritual work or if you've done your homework raising your kids, you'll just follow their lead, and they'll ask you, you know, oh, can I do this? Can I help put, if you do parties, you know, help them. They can help mix cider, get the apples, bake some pumpkin bread for whatever, you know, celebration you're going to have, and help prepare a special meal for after a magic circle. And then there's for all kids of all ages, there's certain things, like this year what we did, there's certain things that you can do. We planted bulbs for the spring, and mm-hmm. then tell this little story about how the bulbs are buried just as the sun god starts his journey into the underworld. And just as he's really not dead, neither are the bulbs. They're warm and they're alive beneath the ground in the womb of Mother Earth. They gather strength for when they emerge as blooms in the springtime. So they can kind of understand that.
I love this.
Yeah, carve pumpkins with your kids. Oh, and this is a fun one. You can make a Samhain door wreath. So you take your kids out on a hike, and you collect things from nature. You thank nature for providing all these little gifts, and you only take what you'll use. And
make an offering back.
Yeah.
Well, at least that's what I do.
Sure, absolutely. And you get some strong cardboard, and then glue or wire all the pieces to the cardboard, fill it all up completely, and then hang it on the front door.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I mean, it's easy, and it's yeah. time that you spend with your kids, and, you know, helps them.
Brings out their creativity.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, people used to dress in costumes to reflect what they would hope for the year to come. And then they would do their magic circle, and they would go to friends' houses, and they would share snacks and treats and stuff like that. So those are just some ideas of how to get them on the path and keep them on the path, and, you know.
So do your kids ask you questions?
All the time. All the time, yeah.
And are
what kind of questions have they asked?
Well, we talk a lot about our ancestors, because two of my boys are from Russia and the girls are from Guatemala. So, and then I've got a Native American history. So we talk about a lot. I mean, I've done a lot of family tree work. So we end up talking about the differences between the Russians, the Guatemalans, the Mayans, and then the Native Americans up here in Minnesota. And just different things that, you know, how, like, women didn't have rights back then, and how they've worked so hard for us to live the life that we have now. And let me think of some other questions that they ask. You know, death questions, like, what's going to happen after we die? You know, that type of thing, because that's
a real thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with the world the way it is, it's a valid question with
news and
Do your kids watch the news very much?
Not very much. We don't watch a lot of TV.
So you're like Teresa.
Yep. Anti-TV.
Yeah. I can only take it in doses. It keeps me awake at night, so.
Well, and everything that's playing lately, it's just you're bombarded with negative, 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 negative,
absolutely,
negative, negative,
yeah,
fluff, negative, 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 mm-hmm, negative, fluff.
It's true.
I like the fluff.
Yeah, but, you know, I just get too overwhelmed by the negative.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they're intentionally trying to desensitize us to this crap so that when they start doing it to us here, we just kind of don't bother with it.
Yeah.
Just kind of roll over.
Uh-huh.
So are you out of the broom closet?
Oh, yeah, I have been for years. Yeah.
And what about your kids? Do they...
They
have. Is that something that they... Is it like... Don't tell your teachers or don't tell your friends or anything like that.
I do suggest to them probably not to mention that I'm a witch because most people have a negative connotation with the word witch.
Which is why we do our show.
Yeah, right. And that's, you know, what I'm here to help, mm-hmm, change because that needs to change.
Right.
But, you know, they identify right now more with the Unitarian, mm-hmm, thing, which is fine because my sixth grader, he's in this great program. It's called Church Across the Street, something like that. And they take them to different churches and show them different religions. So they'll take them I know. They'll take them to a Catholic church and show them that. They'll take them to a Jewish synagogue and expose them to that. So I'm not exactly all sure what all the, mm-hmm, different things that they're taking. I think there is a Muslim thing in there too. But they're just showing them all the different opportunities that are out there. Now, I did take my one, I've only have one son so far that shows any interest in spirituality whatsoever. That's Max. And so I took him last year to a Lutheran church, the one that I grew up in, and so he could see what Christianity was like. And he wanted to go back to the Unitarian church, so that's what we did. You know, that's the whole follow your kid's lead thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Because you can't really force stuff on them because then they will rebel and won't want, mm-hmm, it. You've got to.
I completely 100% agree with you.
You present it to them when they're ready, when they're asking the questions.
Yeah, and spirituality is so personal. I know that for me, I wouldn't want somebody to say, well, no, we're Methodist, so you're automatically Methodist. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality is a huge thing. I mean, it's your soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally your future.
Yeah,
We made the attempt to get Alyssa into a Lutheran church by our house to get her in Sunday school so she could get a kind of feel of what that was all about. And about not even two Sundays, she looked at me and said, I'm not going anymore. So, yeah, she has pretty much been able to decide what the hell she's going to, mm-hmm, do.
Well, I think that's a really good thing, though.
Yeah,
because otherwise it's going to be phony when they get older. They're going, mm-hmm, to just go just because that's what's expected.
But then again, my daughter also, you tell her, you know, maybe you should keep this on the download a little in school because people freak. And she'll go right out and start screaming it to the sky to everybody she meets. She does. And she did it when she was, because my daughter is like uber medium here. And she would always talk to people at school about all these ghosts she was seeing, and they would freak out, and she was just ostracized. And I'm like, Alyssa, people freak out. Might not want to be telling them all that. She kept doing it. So I was like, okay.
So I've raised my children the exact same way that, mm-hmm, you are.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of funny, but so my middle daughter, Kayla, she had a friend that was, you know, they were very close and she was over all the time when she was growing up. And she went to Kayla just last week or the week before and she goes, do you remember when we were in third grade and we were doing spells with your mom? And I'm like, oh my God.
I love like, that.
Third grade. Yeah.
I love that.
Probably wasn't that smart, but.
I ran into some friends after I had gone to my 30th high school reunion, mm-hmm, and I had reconnected with a friend of mine, and she said to me, I remember when we were in fourth grade hanging out that you and your mom, we used to talk about ghosts all the time, and you guys used to see ghosts, and do you still do that? And I'm like,
yeah.
I actively seek them out now.
That's true.
Man, if my high school people were to know me.
I know. And actually, this woman is actually very cool because she's like studying Buddhism and getting in touch with her psychic self and stuff like that. So I felt comfortable enough to tell her, yeah, that's still the path I'm on.
I've got quite a few of my high school friends on my Facebook, And a couple of them, now they have figured it out. And now they'll be like, hey, I need a reading. Could you do this? Mm. Or I need a spell, or I need blah, blah, blah. But then I've still got on my feed some of the other ones. And they're like, Lord Jesus, thank you for all your... And it's like a Bible sermon on my... And I'm like, if you only knew that I was on your friends list, then what I am. Because I don't think you'd like that.
Yeah.
But it's... That's our path. And that's how we raise our children. And we raise them to be good, earth-loving, people-loving...
That is right.
Human beings.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't have it any other way.
No, I agree.
So, well, that's probably better to do, is to teach them that rather than pushing dogma.
Yes.
Well, that's the whole thing. You know, teaching your kids to think for themselves. You know, the critical thinking. I think they're missing a lot of that in schools.
Yes, but a lot of religions don't like that.
Oh, I know.
That's so against the grain. You've got
to be a good little soldier and, mm-hmm. and follow
I raise my girls to do not trust authority mm-hmm. and to go against the flow.
Question authority. Yep.
And it
was that before or after your uber Christian period?
That was after.
Okay.
But here's the thing. There was a point where my girls were really mad at me for a good reason. I was married to a douche. But so they weren't speaking to me. And part of me was like, those are my children. But then the other part of me was so proud of them because even though it was mm-hmm. against me, they mm-hmm. were doing what I mm-hmm. raised them to do. And I mm-hmm. just... I couldn't have been more proud, even though it sucked because I was on the bad end of it.
Yeah.
But I was so proud of them.
Yeah.
Yep. I was like, you go, girls. I miss you, but I love you. But you go, girls.
Yeah. I've taught my kids that, too, to question authority. And mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, from my old punk days, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, just because somebody tells you to do something, you can question them.
Yep.
You can question your grandparents. You can question your teachers. I encourage them to strongly not question me, however, but,
well,
you know.
Of course.
But I say, yeah, question your dad. I don't care. Just not me.
Yeah. Alyssa, she butts heads with dad because mm-hmm. I've taught her all this, and I was big on... She's got an emotion coming. She needs to express that because I was really stifled. I wasn't allowed to do that. And it's been a benefit for me, but a horror movie for him because he's the Italian, you know, respect. You got to show me respect. And I'm like, you need to back off her. She's going to blow up on you. And that was always fun.
Gail, this has been fun. Thank you. We are so looking forward to your weekly pagan parenting.
Yeah, me too.
So Gail Splinter, from now on, she is our pagan parent guru.
Guru.
Yeah.
Pagan parent guru.
She's dancing.
I can't help myself. You know, I'm weird.
I know. So do you have anything going on?
Mm.
I can quickly say that the Mound Theater is bringing back the Zombies Night of the Living Dead play. That was so fun. That's going to be on Saturday and Sunday this week. So come and see me at the Mounds Theater. I will give you popcorn and snacks and treats and beer if you want it.
And a nice friendly smile. Yep. I don't even think I have anything other than an investigation.
All right. Well,
so...
Thank you so much for joining us on the Cittaspell Show. We will be here same time, same place. No, we won't.
No.
We will be here on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Oh, thank you.
And Wednesday.
And Wednesday at 6 o'clock. So we will update all of our websites and Facebooks to let you know just in case. And remember that you are important in absolutely every way. Go out there and make a difference in somebody's life, even if it's just make them smile. And remember to always, always, always take back your light. Blessed be, my darlings.
This has been a Stubborn Witch production.
Sit a Spell is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.